This is Rafe Jenkins Podcast, E2E, Entrepreneur to Entrepreneur. Make sure you follow me on Facebook at Rafe Jenkins TV and consider sharing this podcast with your friends. Today, we're with Scott Aratam, and we're talking about how to properly train your employees. Scott, how you doing, my man?
Thank you. I'm glad to be on with you.
All right, brother. Hey, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am the husband to a lovely wife named Helen, and we just celebrated 24 years together. Raised two wonderful kids. One is a grad student in Washington, D.C., and the other is a freshman in Austin. And I've got a great big giant Great Dane, 150 pounds, named Diego.
Awesome. Awesome. Tell us about your business.
Well, let's go back real quick. I started my career in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in radio, if you can believe it, at a major radio station in Dallas. I was a DJ. And then I moved to from there to Southwest Airlines, where I helped to create their University for People. Created two other corporate universities, and then finally created, formed Leadership Systems, which is my company. It's a consulting and training firm, we believe in people first. And if you tend to your people, you find that productivity increases, and finally that plays out, if you're measuring, in results.
Right.
And that's what we're about.
All right, talk a little bit more about that, like, because I feel like a lot of business owners get confused that it's all about the numbers more than it is about the people. So what's your opinion about prioritizing your business, having people at the top priority?
Well, there isn't a business to date that is made up just exclusively of robots. People make up businesses, and that's where the competitive advantage should lie.
Huh.
If you're hiring properly, if you're training your people, if you're doing the right things to make sure that they can do what they need to do the right way, the people are the competitive advantage that the competition can't and shouldn't be able to match. And so we go in and we focus on what are the people systems that exist here? How are people able to find their highest form of productivity, their best selves at work? And if we do that, the rest of it falls in line. If you start with the results, you're kind of approaching it backwards, because you'll hit all of these roadblocks as you back up to your people, who may not be the right people or doing the right things or doing the right things right.
All right, what advice would you give us on how to properly train employees?
Well, the thing that comes to mind when you ask that question is that the cost of not training your employees is always greater than the cost of training them.
Wow.
So the thing that I run into a lot when I talk to people is they want to do training for their employees, but when they get to the cost, and that's not just financial, but, you know, it's money. So the monetary cost sometimes becomes a roadblock, but it's even more often, it's the time that they have to pull people away from actually doing the job to train. If you cannot spare either the money or the time for your people to be better equipped to get the job done that you need them to do, you're going to wind up spending more money and more time trying to get to that end result.
Right. What attributes are most employees lacking that you need to help fix?
So while all of this is interdependent of one another, when you break it down, one of the biggest things is trust. You know, being able to show up for work and trust that, A, your company has your back. Because I can't be my best self if I don't think my company cares about me.
Right.
It's next to impossible. I can't go out there and smile in front of that customer. I can't apply myself at 100% if I don't believe my company trusts me. And how do we view our company? Well, we view it through the lens of our boss.
Right.
For the most part. And so those relationships are crucial. So leadership plays a huge part. I find that You know, if any of those things are missing, the leadership, the trust, the ability to effectively communicate, expectations, you know, feedback on work that's being done, that without those things, an employee's commitment level is low. And what you lack as a company is something that I call discretionary effort.
Right. So what can an owner or a manager or a director do to earn the trust of their employees?
That's a great question. And it goes to the core of the leadership philosophy that we preach. I mean, for us, leadership, if you were to define leadership, leadership is a choice of behaviors that's designed to get people to want to do what the leader needs them to do. And that is the only definition of leadership that we'll accept and work with, because it's the only way that leaders can get people either in the short term or the long term to produce. If I'm forcing them, if I'm threatening them, if I'm manipulating them, or over incentivizing them to do those things, the minute I'm not forcing them or manipulating them or any of those others, they stop.
Right.
But if I, as a leader, am able to employ skills that gets them to want to do what I need them to do, then if I leave and go away for 2 weeks on vacation or training or something like that, I'm leaving behind people that wanted to get that job done in the first place. They don't want to let me down. They don't want to let the company down. They buy into the vision, and they're still productive.
So why is self-development so important compared to making money? You know, financial self-development or, you know, emotional self-development? Like, elaborate some more. I really want you to press on with this. Like, because I feel like it's extremely important. I just want to hear more about it.
Okay, well, I'm about to torque your world here a little bit, because I think that self-development often isn't important.
Huh.
What makes self-development valuable, and the only thing that makes self-development valuable, is when there's a concerted effort by the organization to make sure that one person's growth is exposed to everyone. It's transparent learning. Without that, I could be held accountable for maybe new things that I've learned and, a new standard that I'm able and should produce at. But that's just me. What about the person next to me and the person, in the next department and things like that? If everybody is self-developing, then you're piecemealing the ability to hold anybody accountable.
Wow.
And it's impossible. It becomes an impossible task to hold people accountable. Where the trick is not in self-development, it's in organizational development. It's organizational learning. And that's the key. So if there's a system in place to where if I go out and learn something and better myself and develop myself and apply those skills back at work because I want that promotion or because, I want that raise or just because I have pride in what I do. Wow. The system should force me or put me in a position to where I have to share that knowledge with everybody,
right,
thereby making it a group learning exercise. And now everybody can be held accountable to using a better way.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. All right, Scott, hey, this is the time of the segment where we just open it up for you to talk about whatever it is that you want to. So go ahead, man.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So the first thing I would say is there's plenty more where this came from at leadershipsystemsonline.com. There are blog articles or video blog pieces that are on there that you can refer to. I would also think that it's important to explain, how we think the best way to work with training and consulting looks. So there's two ways. A lot of our clients will go the route of creating an annual curriculum based on needs and goals. And so we would go in and we would do some needs assessment to determine truly what are what is lacking here and what is needed in order to achieve the goals that the company has moving forward. And we would create a curriculum around that would maybe last a year. And we would go through that over the course of a year, reinforcing learning and all of that kind of stuff. The second way that we do it that I think is even better is when we go in more as a consultant and we are measuring what's going on, and we don't have preconceived notions, but we are, doing some measurement to find out, where the gaps are. We're doing analysis on that to really identify, what is right, what's wrong, and then reporting back, what are the options, what can be done. Sometimes training is the solution. Oftentimes it's not. Oftentimes if you take the time to look, there are other things, there are other opportunities where you can remove something that was a stop in the system, that was a bottleneck in the process. And you can do that in many other ways sometimes besides training. But when training is an option, we are able to follow up and provide that too. The only other thing I would say is, man, I appreciate you having me on because we love what we do and I love talking about it.
Awesome, brother. Well, hey, Scott, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Talk to you soon, man.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye.